All right, so there are a few people that might not know me, and we have what's called a messaging team. So there's five of us, and we take turns, more or less, in speaking, and my name is Mark Thompson, and today is my turn, last Sunday of the year of 2025. And anyway, I'm so grateful to have you guys here. It's fun to see everybody. And because New Year's Day is on Thursday, as it turns out. So not everybody does this, and that's fine, doesn't matter, but I have some New Year's resolutions. So I thought I'd share those for you. And, you know, you might want to join me in some of these. So one of my resolutions is to eat the fruits and vegetables that I do buy before they spoil. Right? So I got as far as buying them. Now I have to eat them. Another one is to floss daily, not just leading up to a dental appointment. And you all might relate to that. Similarly, when I'm going to a doctor's checkup, I should be on the treadmill all the time, not just leading up to the doctor's appointment. I need to be okay with making more than one trip from the car carrying in my groceries. And that is not easy for me to learn. And then maybe this is the biggest one. I have to avoid accidentally saying love you to the random person on the phone because I just get in the habit. So the lady that makes my appointments was really surprised about that. So truthfully, in some ways, today is kind of, I want to give you a genuine, like, resolution. And hopefully it's not just for the year. Hopefully it'll last. And that's what we're gunning for today. So I want to tell you something sort of funny that came up. And this genuinely came up. It was not a joke. It really happened in 1 Timothy 4. Let me just read a verse that I was reading so you all can be on the same page. And it was just my daily time. I was just working through, and I got to 1 Timothy 4. And some verses I've read many times. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And I'm just reading this in my quiet time, and I'm just going along with it, and I'm thinking, yes, that's for me. I get that. That's good. And I've loved this verse for a long time. Then it occurred to me that I really was thinking as I read that, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And I was taking that to heart, like I'm a young guy. And one of the things that should be the hint is I've loved this verse for probably something like 45 years. Right? That should be my first tip. But I was genuinely, internally thinking, like, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, right? And then I was going, well, that's crazy. But then as I was thinking about it, I thought, really, internally, I kind of think of myself like I'm about 33 years old. That's about where I put myself. I think Becky's 28. Jim Smith told me last Sunday he's about 30. Really? And then I read this study, the National Institute of Health said fully 80% of us feel younger. We perceive that we're younger than we actually are chronologically. And so with that in mind, I was thinking about this last summer, and I'm trying to see if Sam is here today. Maybe. Oh, he is in the back. So we went to Mexico to our mission trip, and as this suburb of Acapulco, it's the tropical climate, it's hot, it's very humid, and we were working kind of in this bowl down here. There's a lot of tree roots and mud that we're cleaning out and rocks and all that. And what I really noticed was all these young guys, because we had some older teenagers, some 20-year-olds, 20-somethings, some 30-somethings, just a few of us that were older. And so I'm down there digging in with everybody else because I'm there to work, right? And so I just noticed all these guys were so solicitous to me. They're so careful for me. I'm like, what the heck? So we're like this little bowl down there. And as we're crawling up, especially when they're hauling down buckets of concrete and getting on the ladders and all that, these 30-somethings, they're like
grabbing my elbow like they're going to assist me up the ladder. And I'm like, what? Right? Like, I should have been like, oh, you're so polite. But I was getting kind of offended. Because I'm not old. Right? I don't care if I'm Medicare. I'm not old. Let's just get this straight. So here's the point. We are genuinely in this kind of deception about who we really are. Right? And so I'm thinking this idea of the sermon today is about walking in the kingdom identity. How do we get in this identity when we really are deceived about ourselves? Right? That's kind of the thing I'm driving at. So we can start out with kind of some truths, life truths. I'm just going to share stuff because I am a little bit old, as it turns out. And so things I've heard over the years, I'm just going to tell you a few lines and we're going to land on one for today. But it's just these things that you hear over days, over years. And sometimes they're from the Bible. Sometimes it's from a sermon. Sometimes it's just something that kind of comes to you, right? And so, like one I clearly remember, a buddy and I used to paint. We were working our way through school and whatnot, and it was the late 80s. It was D&T painting, Denny and Tommy painting. And we were listening to the radio, and it was Christian radio, and I heard Pat Robertson come on. And he was just a guy that did speak a lot in those days and wasn't my favorite guy or whatever, but he just said this line, and it just popped for me. He said, balance is the key to life. And for whatever reason, that line just stuck with me, and it's been like this life-changing thing that I've held to for all these years about balance being the key to life. So this is like this life truth for me. Another one that has come to me over time, and I think I've just arrived at this, and it might sound silly, but if you think on it a little bit, I think you'll realize it's true. And this comes up a lot as people are wanting to go on Mexico mission trips. And I tell them, I said, first you think about it, then you say it out loud, and then it occurs. Right? And that's just how we do life, right? First you think about something, then you start talking about it, then it'll actually happen. So that's my life truth, is you think about it, you say it out loud. So when people say, yeah, I'm really thinking about going to Mexico with you, I've been thinking about it a couple years, I'm like, yeah, you're to the saying it out loud stage. So probably next year you'll go, right? And so this is just this truth of life. So here's the one I want to land on, though, is one of our previous pastors, Al DeBoer, used to say this a lot, and it's really stuck with me, and I believe this is where we're going to land today. The line is, what you focus on gets bigger. Very simple line, but it is so true. What you focus on gets bigger. And let's look at the biblical basis a little bit for this. So we'll turn with Philippians 4:8. And Philippians, one of those little epistles hiding in there. Go eat popcorn constantly. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I'm just sharing what I know, how I find stuff. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what are you supposed to do with those things? Think on them. Isn't that crazy? He doesn't say imitate, go do whatever. It just says think on them. And so the word think in the Greek, it's logizoumi. It signifies make these things the subject of your thoughtful consideration. Constantly reflect on them. So this life goal, this life thing about identity is what you focus on gets bigger. And so that scripture in Philippians is, here's a list of really good things, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think on these things. Just put your attention there. That's what I want you to do, is I want you to pay attention. And in some ways, this is like this underlying point of our series. We have this Activate series. And if we think back about some of the things that have been taught. Hearing God's voice, we heard about that today, right? Biblical confrontation, activating thanksgiving, walking out forgiveness, communion with Christ, divine revelations. All these things are really helping us to see ourselves in the kingdom, see our place and all that, but we have to give them some thoughtful consideration. We have to really think on these things because what we focus on gets bigger. So we have to pay attention to what is God speaking to us about. Another scripture that helps us is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 18. And just a little background in this section, he's talking about the new covenant and that in the old covenant, there was this veil over the hearts of the Israelites. When the old covenant was read, the veil was over their hearts and they couldn't understand it. And so now we get to verse 18 of chapter 3. And it says that we all who with unveiled faces, so the Israelites, their hearts, it says their hearts were veiled, but we have unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. So the way that we are moving, right, as we're being transformed into his image is by contemplating the Lord's glory. It's that paying attention, what we're focusing on. And what's cool, too, is we're thinking about, we're contemplating the Lord's glory. And Justin talked about this a little bit, too. Do you happen to remember he said his favorite, one of his favorite verses was out of Exodus in chapter 34. So this will tie to this very well. That in Exodus 33, God and Moses were speaking to one another. And it just turns out that Moses felt like God was in this place where he could ask a favor, like they were communing as friends. So he had this favor he asked from God. He said, you know what? I would like to see your glory. And God says, okay, I'll let you see my glory. And he said, there's really two things that's going to happen to show you my glory is I'm going to have my goodness pass in front of you, and then I'm going to proclaim my name to you. That's my glory. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to show you my glory. My goodness will pass in front of you, and I'm going to tell you my name. And now we get to Justin's favorite verses in Exodus 34, and this is God doing that. He's saying, here's my name. So in Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And in Hebrew thought, the name is your character. It's who you are. It's your essence. And so this is the Lord's name. And the Lord, he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellious, and sin. And then he does have justice. He doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. So this is God's name, and as we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, the Lord said, my glory is my name. So as we're contemplating these things about God, we're contemplating everything that is good and pure and kind and all that, then we're being transformed. And that's this whole idea of what you focus on gets bigger, right? That's what we're up to. So we have this direct connection with Jesus. We have unveiled faces. We can contemplate him and be transformed. Another scripture that relates to this idea is in Romans 12. And if you have the notes, we're going to read it a little bit in the NIV, but then I also had it printed out in the Message because it's such a fun version of that. So Romans 12, and really verse 2 in the NIV, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. Right? That idea of what we're focusing on is renewing, is changing how we think. The message is this fun version. It says, so here's what I want you to do. This is verses 1 and 2. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So that's so cool. This is all about focusing on him to find our kingdom identity. It's really part two of what Justin said last week about God did everything to reach us, and now we're just sort of reaching to him. Right? That's really how simple that is. This is not super complicated, but it is meaningful, all right? I'm going to call back a little bit to a talk I gave about Thanksgiving, and you may not remember it. That's not going to hurt my feelings, but we were in Ephesians 5:18, and in the New King James, it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And I was very interested in the word dissipation because it has this meaning of wastefulness, thoughtless spending, useless or profitless activity. So don't give your life to just wasting your life, not being, you know, not really having direction, not really having profit. And there's the Greek word for that is asodia. Along with dissipation, a synonymous meaning is prodigality, right? Think of prodigal. Prodigality is this wasted, this wasteful stuff. So prodigality is one of the words. Profligacy is another one of those words. That means dissipation. These are rapidly becoming archaic words. But thankfully, we have dictionaries, so you can look up archaic words. Prodigality is wasted extravagance, squandering what you have. That's prodigality. Profligacy, reckless extravagance, wastefulness in the use of resources. So that verse really hits that hard. Don't be given to this dissipation because it's wastefulness, wasting your resources, wasting who you are, squandering what you have. The verb form of that Greek word, asodia, is asotos. The adverb form. So asotos is the adverb form. If you want to see that in action, look in Luke 15:13. And you're going to maybe have an aha moment. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And 15. And here's where that adverb form, the asotos, is used. Chapter 15, verse 13. I think you all will know what this is from. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. The wild is the wasteful, squandering your resources. If you read the New King James, it says he squandered his wealth in prodigal living. That's why this parable is known as the parable of the prodigal son. The word prodigal doesn't mean the kid that was lost and came back. It means squandering, being wasteful with what you have. Right? That's super important to me because we're trying to live with purpose. We're trying to have this kingdom identity, and we get stuck with this prodigal living, this squandering our life. If we go back to that Ephesians 5, and I put this in your notes too, J.B. Phillips has a fun translation, and J.B. Phillips was an English guy, a contemporary with C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis actually endorsed some of his early translation work, so the guy was born early 1900s, passed away, I think, 1982. And so this Ephesians 5:15 through 17 with this J.B. Phillips translation. Live life then, and it's in your notes because we don't think we have J.B. Phillips, but it's in your notes. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. So back to that kid, the prodigal son, back in Luke 15. After he had spent everything, after he had wasted, right, all his resources in this prodigal living, in this asodial living, in verse 14 of chapter 15, it says, after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So one of the keys of us getting it right with God is we come into this sense of need. And then in verse 17, so the guy is in need. He gets a job feeding pigs. He's looking at the pods that he's feeding the pigs and thinks, oh, that looks pretty good. I'm really hungry. And then in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, what am I thinking, right? Even my father's servants are doing better than me. I think I'll go back and just serve him. So he had this revelation of his need. He came to his senses and knew where he needed to go. His attitude wasn't great, and his father had to correct him. You know, his father said, hey, you're not a servant. You're my son. What are you thinking, right? So there was some work that had to happen. But the real key is he figured out what his need was. He came to his senses, and he said, I have to return to the Father. Like, I have to really come back to this idea of focusing. What you focus on gets bigger. I have to return back to where God is. So this is the big idea, and this is, again, not a complicated talk, but to really put it into practice is a little complicated. For some of you guys that have read the series, The Chronicles of Narnia, it's the big grand conclusion is in the last book, the seventh book, right? And at the very end, they've been through this big battle. It's called the last battle. They come through this big battle, and they're finally, you know, Aslan, the lion who represents redemption, who represents God, who represents Christ, shows up, and they see this doorway, and it's into like a better place. And so here's a quote from that last section. They had seen strange things enough through that doorway, but it was stranger than any of those to look around and find themselves in warm daylight, the blue sky above them, flowers at their feet, and laughter in Aslan's eyes. And Aslan is the god figure. He turned swiftly round, crouched lower, lashed himself with his tail, and shot away like a golden arrow. Come further in, come further up, he shouted over his shoulder. And the next chapter is entitled Further In and Further Up. And that's where I think we are at, this whole idea of what we focus on gets bigger. It's always more. It's always more with God. It's always further in and further up. It's always moving forward. Because this is the truth. If you're not moving forward, you're wasting what God has given you. You're taking these resources and you're living like a prodigal. If we're not moving in and forward with God. I'm going to give you this one example where God really spoke to me about this. And then we're going to have a chance to kind of get, you know, come face to face with God about this. So there was a season of our lives when I was finishing my master's degree. And it was a busy season. Like, we were growing our family. We were building our own home. I was going to school, commuting in the summers to Alamosa while I was teaching in the winters, and it was just a busy time. So I tell you all that to kind of know that I was probably emotionally kind of ripe for something intense to happen. So just give you background. And at the end of my master's degree, the way they did it in that program was you would take a written final exam. And they would tell you ahead of time, you know, 11 questions, and you're going to cover these big areas. And so you would work and work the whole summer between classes. You were prepping for this final exam. And it was a written exam, and you had an eight-hour limit. You could only write for 8 hours, then you were done. You either made it or you didn't, right? So it's intense. So I finished that day. I think it was a Friday. We did our final. I think I got done something like 3 p.m. And after years of never having a free moment, I walked out at 3 p.m. I'm like, well, I'm done. Now what, right? It was kind of like that. I had something going on the next day, so I wasn't driving home that night. So I'm in Alamosa hanging out, and like, I haven't had a free night in years. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I decided to go to a movie. I hadn't been to a movie, actually, in years. So I decided to go to a movie. So whatever showing, as long as it wasn't inappropriate, you know, I'm going to go. And so I go down there, and it's John Travolta Phenomena. Is there any chance anybody has seen that show? Okay, about three. All right, so I'll have to give you just a little background. So it's a fun movie. It's actually kind of fun. There's this, the main guy in the movie, he's kind of this, just this deadbeat kind of guy getting along. He's a mechanic and doing whatever, and something occurs to him one night. He thinks he was struck by lightning or visited by aliens or something, but all of a sudden, he's different. Like the next day, like he's smart, like he can figure stuff out, and he starts figuring out, like he can do math, he can do mechanicking, he can figure out emotional issues with relationships. It's like all of a sudden, everything's clicking. And with his friends, and it was just unworldly, right? Like, just so crazy. And everybody else is starting to buzz, like, I think those aliens took over his brain, or, you know, whatever it is. So that's all background noise, but it's just really cool. And he's like, he's helping the government with their military stuff, and he's doing great with his gardening. Like, he has these phenomenal gardens. Everything's happening for this guy. Like, he is just amazing, and he's making great friends, and his friends are all loving him better, and he's just being this good guy. And then, as it turns out, because this is just a Hollywood movie, what they figured out was he had some tumor that unlocked his brain. You know, the 90% that we usually don't use, he had access to. Right, and then it's this, you know, kind of intense, sad ending. He passes away, but all his friends think highly of him, and they all love each other, and they're all better people. So it's this warm, humanistic idea about what could we really do if we reached our potential, right? What would that be like? So I thought, wow, it's cool. It's a cool movie. It was great. So I walk out to my car. It's nighttime, downtown Alamosa, by myself. I sit in my car, and no kidding, I don't think it was an audible voice, but it was so strong, it was as though it were audible. And the word I heard was, what would happen if you lived up to your potential in God? What would occur if you met your potential to what God's called you to, and you didn't waste any of it? And it broke me. Like, no joke, I couldn't drive. I had to just sit there and sob, sitting in my car, like weeping. Like, really? Wow. What would it be like if I didn't waste what God's done for me? If I met my potential and did everything that God's called me to? What would it be like if I was only focused on Him? And that was what was getting bigger in my life. My unveiled faces, right? Glory to glory. So that's sort of how simple it is. God speaks to us, and you know what we do? We say yes to Him. Like, the most important word that exists in the whole kingdom of God is yes. I really think that. God calls us. And I was thinking of that scripture, Psalm 42, deep calls unto deep. And that's also a scripture where David is in a lot of intensity. I mean, he just doesn't know if he's actually going to live or all that. And deep calls unto deep, and the waterfalls crash. I think that's what the Holy Spirit was doing. It was this deep calling unto deep. What could it be like, young man, if you would really live up to what God called you to. And, you know, if you know me, know me. You know I haven't pulled it off perfectly, right? Because we are still just working our way through, and we're still going through, you know, dying to self and all that other stuff. But this is the call, I think. So one last scripture out of James chapter 1. And I think we started the series with a verse out of this. Verses 22 through 25. Bethany, I'll have you come up, please. So James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's that yes, by the way. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So before we read this last verse, think about this. Whatever you focus on gets bigger. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And I just want to say the perfect law that gives freedom is Christ. Right? In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I haven't come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He's the perfect law that gives freedom. So we look intently at him. And then we, you know, we're not forgetting, we're not dropping, we're not wasting our resources. We're not living like prodigals. We're doing what God's called us to do. We've had this definition of the word grace. It's a whole message by itself. But it's the power of God in us that gives us the power to be what God's created us to be and do what God's called us to do. And that's where we are at. We're calling on God. We recognize our need. We're saying we need your grace. And we're putting our eyes on him. Then he gives us the strength to be what he's created us to be and do what he's called us to do. If we'll stand together, please. And then anyone that's on the ministry team, if you want to come forward. And I'm thinking of, you know, for ministry stuff, you may just sense like sometimes it's good to have these moments. Like I grew up going to camp and we'd have altar call at the end. And it was always like kind of cool to have a moment where you would say, I acknowledge that there's some tug in here. Something moved me. Something's touching me about me needing to say yes. Maybe recognizing that I'm not living up to my potential, maybe recognizing that I need to shift my focus, that I'm not thinking about the right things. I'm getting, you know, set aside, distracted. And I just used to think, man, it was great to have this little place where you come down and pray. And it's like this movement. You make this movement, and it's like an act of faith. Like, okay, this is the first step, is I'm gonna pray. So I'm not saying you have to come down or something, but if you just want to sort of seal the deal about recognizing who God is, because that's how we figure out our identity, is we put our eyes on him, and he does all the rest. He drags us into the right places if he's the one we're focusing on. And if you want to agree with somebody, or maybe you just want to come pray while Bethany is worshiping, that would be great. But that's why we have prayer team up here. And then there's other things. Sometimes we just come in the door with a lot of baggage. Like we just need something. We need some help praying for something. Feel free to just take advantage of people up here. All right. So, Lord, I'm just going to pray over this body and this part of the body that's here, this family that's here, Lord. And if there's any of us that need to actually repent of wasted and selfish living, we want to give room to you today for that. We want to be good about just confessing to you, recognizing that you're there to meet us, and that we come with unveiled faces. We come with confidence because of the blood of Christ. We come right in to the inner room, or we come into the Holy of Holies, and we speak up freely, saying where we're at and what we need and how we want to move forward with you, Lord. We want to say yes to you. So I just speak that over this family, that we'll all be saying yes in our hearts. Whether we're just affirming this place where we already are, or we're asking for change, Lord, help us to see our need. Help us to come to our senses. Help us to come running to the Father. And that's what we're asking today, Lord. In Jesus' name.